Haunted Night, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.
We'd like to thank W.J. Pierce for creating and performing our music. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live. We're your hosts, Alistair Cross, and I'm here with my co-host and collaborator, Tamara Thorne. How are you today, Tamara?
Well, I'm just tuckered out from all those climaxes we've been having all day. Both of us. I don't know how we've been on so long. Climax after climax. I mean, our books are almost finished, and all these. And then it happened again, and then it happened again. I it's almost enough to make me take up smoking. You know what I mean?
I know, right? We are both in the middle of the ends. We're both right at the end of both of our books, and so there's a lot of climaxing going on. So.
Tons of it. It's just wave after wave.
All right. Well, before we introduce tonight's guest, Tamara, why don't you tell everybody what's going on with us right now, or what's
Besides those solo climaxes. We have the third book in Ravencrest. And let me tell you about it. In a remote part of California, Ravencrest Manor, imported stone by stone from England more than two centuries ago, looms tall and terrifying, gathering its dark and unnatural powers and drawing those it wants as its own. In Exorcism, which is book three of the Ravencrest saga, something evil stirring in the deep, dark waters of the estate's indoor pool as ghostly jazz-age parties fill the air with phantom music. Within the mansion, a maid is visited nightly by a demon lover. Something's visiting her uterus, too. And governess Belinda Moreland is haunted... haunted by the tormented spirit of Violet LeBlanc, a silent movie star who was driven mad in her crime and wants Belinda to help her in search for justice. The Ravencrest Saga series is first released in serialized installments. The first two episodes, Begotten and Incubus, are available now on Amazon, and the third is coming soon, Alistair.
All right. Yes, and if you need to brush up on the Ravencrest saga, you can get the first two complete novels, The Ghosts of Ravencrest and The Witches of Ravencrest, in paperback or ebook at Amazon. All right. You are listening to Thorn and Cross on a Nights Live, and you can learn more about what we do at our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com, or you can visit our mutual blog at thornandcross.wordpress.com. You can find us on Twitter at @crossalistair and @tamarathorne. For more information on the show, you can visit Authors on the Air at Facebook, Twitter, and at authorsontheair.com. This is a broadcast of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network, LLC. And I just want to remind everybody that if you would like to get, for book sales, updates, upcoming guests on Thorn and Cross Haunted Nights Live, be sure to sign up for our newsletter, which you can do by visiting our websites, alistaircross.com and tamarathorne.com. All right, but on to more important things. Let's talk about tonight's guest, and then let's talk to our guest. At the tender age of 9, Marie Lavender began writing stories. She majored in creative writing in college because that was all she ever wanted, to be a writer. While there, she published two works in university publication and was a copy editor on the staff of an online student journal. After graduating from college, she sought out her dream to publish a book. Since 2010, Marie has published 24 books in the genres of historical romance, contemporary romance, romantic suspense, paranormal, dramatic fiction, fantasy, science fiction, mystery thriller, literary fiction, and poetry. She has also contributed to several anthologies. Marie lives in the Midwest with her family and three cats. She has been writing for over 20 years. She has more works in progress than she can count on two hands. All right. That said, welcome to the show, Marie.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me.
Glad to have you. Oh, we're glad to have you. Glutton for punishment.
Yes, you are.
I've been out here a lot.
It's true. We always have fun. So your latest book, Blood Instincts. First of all, tell us a little bit about it, and then I believe Tamara's going to give us a little read of it. But first of all, what's it about?
Yeah. Set up the scene.
Blood Instincts is the sequel to Second Nature, which we previously talked about on one of your shows. And so it's book two of the Blood at First Sight series. It is actually set, I have to remember the exact number. I think it's set about 26 years after the other one, after the other one leaves off. So it's kind of set in the future a little bit, but I didn't want to alienate readers too much, so I didn't go too much into the futuristic angle that much anyway. But it is a paranormal romance, urban fantasy, and it's about this woman who, she finds out that she's not only human, like she has some other skills and traits that she never knew about, you know. So.
Mm-hmm. So in this scene, she's meeting someone, I think.
She's already met him before, but she's, I guess you could say she's trying to get used to the idea of these new facets to her body or whatever, you know, like these different things she learns about herself. So she's still trying to wrap her head around it, you know.
Okay. Well, shall we read it?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm ready too, and I should have practiced and I didn't, so be prepared for mouthos. Okay. Cole, I could warm you, you know. She jumped and realized he now stood right in front of her. She noticed the trunk was closed. He wasn't kidding about his speed, and that fantastic spiced cologne was drugging her mind. She had to curb the urge to get closer. Thank you for the offer, but I think it's best we don't. Curious thing, to be sure. Why do you deny yourself, Maya? She saw his white teeth flash in the dim lights of the parking space. Deny what? Deny what you so clearly want. He leaned forward, nipping her mouth with his fang. As blood welled over her lower lip, he sucked on it. A part of her was somehow aware he sealed the wound at the same time as he created it. How was that possible? Tingles began in a place where they shouldn't be. Oh, God, what was he? Why was he doing this to her? He growled. An ambrosia unlike any other. Do you know how sweet you taste? She shivered. This time it wasn't from the weather. It took every ounce of resolve to keep from leaning into his body. I remember when we kissed. Now I wonder how you taste everywhere else. Only in my dreams have I imagined it. She felt lightheaded, like this was a fantasy she should wake from but couldn't. Please, she whispered. We really shouldn't. I know you want this, Maya. She's swallowing hard. She shook her head. No, I promise you I don't. His eyes flashed with anger this time. You're lying. I smell your arousal, sweetheart. How was it even possible? These pet names of his might be insults after all. She managed. Just because we had one date and shared a kiss doesn't mean... No, not in every case, but I'm right, yes? He all but crowded her against the car, then glanced down for a split second before he looked in her eyes. I could take you in no time. Do you realize that? I might be up your skirt, have those perfect legs wrapped around me, and I'd be buried inside that sweet honey in less time than it would take for you to figure out a way to deny us both. But here's the thing. You won't fight me at all. How do I know? I just do. A male knows when a woman wants him. A vampire's sense of smell is stronger than you can imagine. It's a disadvantage sometimes. Now, it tells me you want what I can give to you. Oliver cocked his head for a moment. Besides, I distinctly remember you inviting me into your place, right? That wasn't a lie. She trembled. God help her, her body grew warm at the taunting tone, his nearness a drug. He smelled delicious, exotic, with a hint of spice and a scent like oranges. He thought it might be the most potent aphrodisiac on the planet. Don't pretend you're not feeling something. His voice was deep, low, and unbelievably hypnotic. After a moment, she realized she leaned toward him, as if desperate for a kiss. She forced herself to snap out of it. The end. Ooh, that's very sexy. Yeah.
I love how you go for smell. Yeah.
I
like
doing
that in books, too. My women will smell my man and men and vice versa.
Yeah.
Do you ever find it difficult to come up with new ways of being sexy? Your books tend to be very sexy, which is, it's you know, I think, to me, I would get like, okay, how do I find a new, I don't know, how do you go about that?
I guess I just tried to approach it a little differently in each book. It really depends on the character's point of view because, like Maya she's a very practical person. So, you know, his, sensuality is kind of overwhelming to her. And, and not just the vampire thing too, you know, of course that's overwhelming to her as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it just depends on the book, and I try to, you know, I don't want to like recycle my material, you know, so
right.
I just try to approach it in a unique way each time, I guess.
Nice.
Yeah. You must get into everybody's head to get that way. You get to know your different characters.
Yeah. I mean, I go into a lot of development with my characters, so.
Do you develop them, you know, just mentally or while you're writing them, or do you write down things about them before you begin?
I do both. So, like, when I first start writing a character, that comes out kind of on the fly when I'm writing, and then I do these. After I've written the whole book, actually, I go through and I do character worksheets and fill in more details, and then I have to decide, am I going to add all this stuff or, you know, am I just going to, like, add little things here and there, you know, that I hadn't added before, you know, so.
Right.
But at least I know more about the character than I did before, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Do they surprise you sometimes?
They do,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always fun. I love it when they do that.
When you do
yeah.
these character worksheets, is it something that you do on your computer, or do you have like notebooks, or and what kind of stuff do you include?
I keep notes at first, and then the character worksheets. They're actually specific questions that I ask myself. You know, what is the character's background? What's, you know, of course their physical appearance. You know, you want to add little details like that. And then other things like how are their interactions with other people? You know, do they get along with males or females very well? Or do they have trouble getting along with people, you know, in a normal situation? Or so I guess I just ask myself, I think it's about 25 different questions for each character or something. But, you know, it goes into detail, and it includes, like, what are their religious affiliations, and, you know, do they believe in a god or do they not, you know, things like that. So,
interesting way to do that.
Yeah, it is. You probably already said this, so I apologize. What book number is it in this series?
This is number 2, actually.
Number 2. Okay, so you, but this is not the only vampire series you have going, right?
This is right now, but I have plans for other ones.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, I have a spinoff series that's, I've started it a little bit, but more of a work in progress. It's called
mm-hmm.
Spells and Shifters series, and it'll be a spinoff of all of my paranormal fantasy ones that I have. So I may throw in a mention of a vampire or something.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I may, who knows, I may do a historical version of a vampire thing. I don't know.
That would be fun.
And that's the beauty of vampires. I love vampires for that reason, because you can do, like, you can go all over history. It's great.
Yeah.
What do you suppose is so popular? Why are vampires so popular? Why do people love them so much, in your opinion?
Well, I would hate to say that it's always the macabre angle. I mean, I don't think everybody's like that, but I do think there's a sexuality to vampires that is appealing. You know, I mean, it can be sexy or it can be horrific, you know, it just depends on the character, you know. So,
yeah.
Do you do much violence? Do you lean, you know, like, there's obviously a lot of romance, but do you also get into violence, or do you get very graphic into fear, horror elements?
Well, there is violence, of course. There's violence from outside sources. Like, all the supernatural creatures in my series, they're called Others, you know, with an, like, capital
uh-huh.
O. And,
okay.
You know, so you know, not all of them are good. You know, some are evil, just like with humans. You know, some people are bad, some people are good, you know. So, yeah, there's some violence involved in some of my books. But I would say, as far as horrific, I don't know. I had a science fiction romance that got a little bit horror.
Yeah.
It was like a dream or something that got a little bit horrific. But I actually have a story in progress that's a horror mystery. And I'm tempted to work on it at some point, but, you know, I have so many works in progress that I don't know when I'll be ready, you know, so...
How
many work in progress would you actually say you have for real?
Maybe 125.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. I just don't have enough time.
So do you just like start
enough time, you know?
Something else just catches your eye and you're like, I want to do this instead, or just...
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes I get distracted and I have to go, you know, I have to focus, make myself focus, you know, so.
That's
right.
Hard. Yeah. Boy, 125. I thought 3 was bad.
I know, right?
I know, we can hardly keep up.
You guys are cranking them out like crazy, and I feel like I'm comparing to you, you know, and I'm like, oh, wow, you guys are, keep going, you know.
Oh, we try not to think ahead.
Like
we try to just do our solos and our, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're actually working on 4 because it's 2 solos and one regular, but we put the regular one on hold until we finish our solos just for another week or two, our first draft.
Yeah.
And then our Ravencraft. So we do 4, I guess. But
normally more than that. And that's nuts.
What?
You know, that's hard.
It is. Yeah, because we divvy them up, you know, okay, today we do 2 hours on this and 1 hour on that. But like right now it's, let's finish solo. So we're sort of letting everything drift
exactly.
while we do that.
Yeah, you guys are
and we know we're being bad.
Compared to me.
It's all Alistair.
Do you have a whip? I know, right?
Somebody's got a crack whip, right?
Yeah. Do you have a kind of, I'm sure I asked you this before, but do you put in like a set amount of hours, or do you go by page count or word count? Is it a daily thing, 5 days a week? How does your schedule look, your writing schedule?
The idea of, you know, curbing myself to a word count, you know, every day or per week or something is actually terrifying to me. So, I guess I just let it flow, you know, and when I'm really focused, I can probably work on it most days, you know, a little bit every day, even if it's research or something.
Sure.
But like, for example, this year, I had so many health issues that came up and personal things that, anyway, like, 'cause I lost my cat, you know. So that was pretty depressing for me, and so that kind of slowed me down, and so I guess I didn't really see that one coming, you know, where all these things would, because I had surgery back in March, too, so, you know, it's been one thing after another, but I guess if things were going normally, then, yeah, I would try to work on it each day, but, like, with my current project, it's like a romantic comedy. And with that one, I've just tried to pick, like, say, Wednesday, you know, as my writing day, and I'll go, okay, get one chapter or one scene done, you know, because I get so frustrated with myself, so I'm like, just do it, you know, so.
Right.
Something I'm really intimidated by is purposely writing comedy. Allison and I are known for being funny, but we never write funny on purpose. Because if we think about it, we get scared. How do you do that?
It is a bit intimidating right now. Because it's actually the first time I've ever done that. You know, I mean, I've watched a ton of romantic comedies. I've read them, but it's new to me, you know. So, it's definitely interesting. But I guess my humor is on more of the sarcastic side, so I don't know if that, you know, wouldn't fly with some people.
Oh, that's my favorite
we'll
find
part. Out. Me too. What would you say? You've got a lot of books out there. You've been writing for a lot of years, and you've got a lot of books out there. Based off what people tell you or what people buy, what is the book or the series that is the fan favorite?
Well, I guess that so far it seems like the most popular one would be the historical series. And of course, paranormal is pretty popular. I mean, overall, if you think about how popular paranormal really is right now, that one probably is pretty popular now, but my historical series, I think, has gotten more attention overall. And it's a trilogy, so it's already finished. Yay, finally.
I know, right?
Good. What kind of history are you writing about there?
That one is Victorian.
The era?
Yeah, Victorian.
Fun.
So, but it kind of spans from, I think it's like, it's more like a 50-year period, you know, between all of the books.
Uh-huh.
So, because it keeps jumping around.
Fun.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I love histories. They're historical. I love
I know, totally. So, Blood Instincts, this one is your latest. Mm-hmm. This one is, was there anything in this book that happened that surprised you? I don't know how rigid your outlining process is, or if you just kind of, you know, start and see where it goes, but was there anything in this that really surprised you?
I think Maya's character surprised me because she's so practical as a person, and I think sometimes it's hard to write that kind of character when you have a backdrop of, like, this fantasy paranormal angle, because they're, in a way, they're kind of closed-minded, you know? So it was very challenging to write her character a little bit. And then one thing that was surprising to me was I guess I could be a little more creative with building the world, you know. So I added more creatures than I had originally planned. And, you know, and I'm trying to gradually build the world that's in the trilogy. Because there's going to be one more book in the series. And I'm trying to gradually build it so that it's not, like, throwing a bunch of stuff at you all at once, you know? So,
right.
Because I have this bad habit of crossing genres really bad.
Oh, we all do.
Yeah, we do.
So, like, the third book in the trilogy is actually going to be dystopian paranormal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So
that's
it's like
new.
What? You know. Yeah,
oh,
I don't
know,
be like shocked, you know, all at once. Throw the entire world at them, you know.
Right.
It's like you know how J.R. Ward has the glossary, you know, or
right.
She has the thing at the beginning that says this is what this term means, you know, and that's
right,
kind
yeah.
of helpful, I think, but I don't see myself doing that, you know. So that's a lot of work. That's like the people that draw their own maps and everything for their books.
I don't know
how they do that.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't either. But
we do that, but we don't publish them.
Yeah. Yeah, we draw maps, but no way is anybody ever going to see those bad boys. Those are messes.
No,
but
they point and laugh.
Our reference,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have any drawing
abilities,
so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think the genre crossing now, though. I mean, that's an interesting topic, though, because I don't really mm-hmm. think. First of all, I don't think readers ever really minded as much as you know the industry claimed that they did. But second of all, the way it is right now, I find that basically almost everybody kind of crosses genre. It's like even with us,
yeah.
It's like, you know, we have, you know, a good blend of, you know, of course horror, but, you know, romance,
paranormal,
all kinds of stuff. I never thought of myself as really a horror writer until they said that's what I was, and I'm like, okay, that's fine. But, you know,
it's always open to discussion. Yeah.
It is, and I don't think it's really important, you know, I really don't. And I personally like books that cross genres because you get
mm-hmm.
too genre centric and it becomes it's predictable, to be quite honest.
I like the word genre. You know, some people like me love a good ghost story. And I love it inside a thriller, a mystery, or anything. It doesn't have to be a horror story, but if I see the word paranormal or horror, I'm going to look extra hard. And that's the only reason. Yeah.
Right.
If there's a ghost, I'm probably there.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't understand how
some writers, they can box themselves into one genre alone, you know what I mean? And that's all they ever write. And I'm like, don't you ever have any ideas that don't do that, you know?
Right.
Well, you can make a lot of money doing that. Some writers
and
do
I know
very
there are
well
some
by doing the same
that
thing over and over.
That. But
yeah, there are
yeah.
lots of them. And that would be deadly to me
or
Alistair. Yeah.
It would be because if you're going to do that, I've always said, you know, if I have to do a certain thing or follow a certain formula in every book and do that over and over and over, I might as well just go work in a factory on an assembly line. I don't, I'm not interested in that. You know, seriously, I'm not interested at all. Yeah.
It kills all the fun. Yeah.
It does. All right, so we are just about out of time, but it, as always, is a pleasure to have you. Before we, and you're welcome back anytime, of course. Before we let you go, can you tell our listeners where they can find out more about you and where they can get Blood Instincts?
So my website is marielavender.com, and I just want to insert here that it is spelled Marielavender, because some people call me Maria and Marian, and they spell lavender with an A at the end. I don't know how you do that. But anyway, it's spelled this way instead.
Calendar, I bet. Yeah.
And then you can find me on Facebook at, my Facebook official author page is actually Marie Ann Lavender, even though I don't use the Ann anymore. I'm stuck with it because Facebook sucks.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, it really does.
And then Twitter is, my handle is MarieLavender1. And then I have three blogs, MarieLavenderBooks.blogspot.com, ILoveRomance.wordpress.com, and MarieLavender.blogspot.com, which is Writing in the Modern Age.
Yeah, you've got some nice blogs. We enjoy them.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
my book, Blood Instincts, you can find on Amazon.
Okay. Great.
All righty. You are a joy as always. We adore you.
Mm-hmm.
And
we do.
Looking forward to next time. Thank you for being on.
Yes.
And
well, thank you for having me.
You are welcome. Anytime.
You're welcome.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next week, we wish you haunted nights.
And sweet screams.
Thanks for listening.
Haunted Nights, live with Tamara Thorne and Alistair Cross.